Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Thursday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. The focus for today's show, baseball, and more baseball. A tale of two games in South Korea for the Dodgers and for the Padres. Plus, we continue our MLB preview for the 2024 season. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Let's get right into it. Looking at the last couple of games between the Padres and the Dodgers, the Dodgers winning the first game 5-2, the Padres taking the second one 15-11. And the obvious story here is Yoshinobu Yamamoto having some problems in his first start, giving up 5 runs in the first inning and getting yanked. Obviously, the Dodgers were able to recover as they beat up on Joe Musgrove, which I also think is a bit of a story here. But the Yamamoto one is so interesting because this was a huge contract to a guy who hasn't pitched a game in the big leagues. And I would suggest that there needs to be a bit of level-headedness to this that there probably won't be, given the size of the contract, given the pressure that is on this Dodgers team this year, and everything that has gone into this season. I will say there's probably a little bit of distractions around the Dodgers team over the last 24 hours with the one interpreter getting fired for stealing money from Shohei Ohtani and gambling it. So there's probably a lot going on over there right now. And I'm not going to suggest Yamamoto and this guy were close or anything like that. I'm just going to say there's probably a lot going on with that team. So maybe not everyone was 100% focused on this game. It does sound like I'm making excuses, and I might be. But I still think that this kid is going to be very good. And a big part of the contract that he got was because of his age coming over here, just 25 years old. And so a big part of this is what he is going to be. Maybe not necessarily what he is right now, but it's a concern from the Dodgers for sure. Like, this is not the result that they wanted, obviously, in his first outing. But I don't think it is run and panic time. Nor is it for San Diego with Joe Musgrove. But he got hit pretty hard in this game as well. 2 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs, all of them earned, walked 2, struck out 2. Again, that's in 2 2/3 innings. So not a great outing for him either. And I do think there's a little bit more pressure on the Padres pitchers this year, just based on like how these two lineups go. Obviously, today the offense was much better for the Padres. Yesterday, it did seem like it was just a grind to get any offense going and to try to get anything moving with this team offensively. It just, all the runs they scored, both runs they scored were really hard. And I think that's going to be a little bit more commonplace this year. You still have at the top Bogarts and Machado and Tatis. But after that, like, Cronenworth is fine. Capizano is fine. They're going to need this pitching staff to step up. And I think Darvish looked pretty good in his first outing. Played with fire a little bit. But I think that there is that. But I do, after that, like, Cease has to be good. And Musgrove has to be a whole lot better than he was today for this team to be competitive. So giant red flags all over the place around this. The other thing that I'm a little worried about from the Padres is their bullpen. Brito got lit up yesterday. And today you have Stephen Kolick come in and trying to shut this thing down in the 7th and 8th inning, and he gets hit pretty hard. I apparently clicked on something and lost it, but I don't believe he made it a full inning. Here we go. 2/3 of an inning, 0 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, and walked 1. So a lot going on with that particular line. And then Suarez comes in for an inning and a third to get the save in this one. But the Padres bullpen has been a little leaky in these first couple of games. And that's something that they are going to need to absolutely get figured out here as this goes along. But this Dodgers lineup, and again, I want to give full flowers to the Padres for a 15-run performance. It sounds like I made a lot of excuses here. Machado gets a home run in this game. Campuzano, 3 hits and 6 at-bats. Cronenworth went 4-for-4 with 4 RBIs. So these guys, who I said, yeah, they're okay. You can see how this lineup can be dangerous, right? When Cronenworth is going. Machado goes 1-for-4 with 3 RBIs. Bogarts, 2-for-5 with a couple of RBI. Campuzano, 3-for-6 with 2 runs batted in. Wade drove in a run. Merrill gets a couple of hits, his first 2 hits at the big league level. He's going to be a key for them this year. But they need the non-big three to step up in big ways if they're going to have games like this and performances like this against the Dodgers. That, like, the National League wildcard race is going to be really interesting this year. I would imagine the Phillies get one of those spots, but then after that, I think there are two spots up for the three National League West teams, and if anyone in the Central steps up, which I'm not anticipating, but if anyone steps up, then maybe that there is that. But the Padres, Giants, and Diamondbacks are going to be in an absolute battle all season long, I think, for the last couple of wild card spots in the National League. For the Dodgers, the last couple of days, you've just seen how dangerous this lineup is. Like, Will Smith batting fourth is an afterthought because of the top three with Mookie, Shohei, and Freddie Freeman. And then after that, it's guys who can do damage. And it was those guys in game one who did the damage today. Like, Mookie Betts gets six RBI. That's wild. Will Smith with a couple runs batted in. He had four hits. This game is insane. Three guys had four hits in this game. Hayward gets a couple of hits in an RBI. Lux drove in a big run in the last game. Outman had a couple of good at-bats. Teoscar not off to the greatest start, but you know he can get going. Same with Max Muncy. Like, this lineup, Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Smith, Muncy, Hernandez, Outman, Hayward, Lux. So you're just like, you're going through, it's like, okay, when do we get to the easy part? And then Betts is up again. It's like, what the hell is going on? This is just such a fantastically constructed lineup. But again, the question mark for the Dodgers this season is going to be that pitching staff. Where do the outs come from? Basically, Glasnow looked okay in that first game. Yamamoto obviously struggled in this game. We'll see what they get in some of these other pieces that have been brought in, but there's a lot of question marks. If Yamamoto isn't going to be that guy, and if Glasnow isn't going to stay healthy, which he hasn't thrown more than 120 innings in a season in his career, they're going to need best case scenario from a lot of these pitchers. And so this was one where it's like, this is why there is a bit of panic because of the pressure on this team to win 120 games and go on and win a championship. But also because it does seem like if you get best case scenario out of this pitching staff, then this might be one of the best baseball teams we've ever seen. But when does that ever happen? Aside from the Blue Jays last year, when does that ever happen with a pitching staff? So this is one of those flags where it's like, okay, we need to pay attention to this because this is a big concern for this Dodgers team. But not going to panic yet. We're not going to say the Diamondbacks are going to win the division or anything like that. But this is just a, oh, okay, noted. We have a few lists to do today on the MLB previews as we get ready for the start of the season. On yesterday's show, went through and looked at the best players of all time. So today, we're going to look at the best players in the game today. And we're going to start at number 10. It is Bryce Harper. He has transformed the Philadelphia Phillies into a World Series contender. Defensively, he just took over first base last year and was fine at it. But he is, it feels like he is one of the threats to just hit a monster bomb every time he steps up to the plate this season. He has basically lived up to the hype that he had when he came in as one of the top prospects the sport has ever seen. And he's just such an exciting player to watch. In at number 9, it's Freddie Freeman. He has never had a bad at-bat in his life. One of the great pure hitters in the sport right now. Defensively fine over at first base. But just someone who, like, with the aliens taking over the planet, laser beams pointed at Earth, and we need a base hit. Freddie Freeman is someone who we're calling on pretty quickly because of just his sense of the strike zone. His baseball IQ is fantastic. Obviously the work ethic is there as well to get him to that point, but just a really, really, really great player. In at number 8 is Gerrit Cole. And I believe, yeah, he's the only pitcher on this list. We don't really have a ton of like real dominant pitchers in the league right now. But Gerrit Cole is that. He is the guy every fifth day when he's healthy. But every fifth day you give that man the ball and he goes out there and shuts the door. You feel like you have a chance to win every time he steps out on the mound. And there are some guys who are like that, but he is the leader of all of that. His stuff is so nasty. And like he has embraced what it means to be a Yankee in all the ways that frustrates everyone who's not a Yankee fan. But just such a wicked, wicked talented pitcher. In at number 7, it is Yordan Alvarez. One of the probably the great power hitter of this time and has really worked his way through to being like, okay, this guy could be a big bat, too. Oh, this is the big bat at the center of some amazing Houston Astros teams. Like, there was all of the hype around the Bergmans, the Altuves, the Springers, the Correas. And as those guys have gone, different players have been called on to pick up the slack. And a lot of them have, right? Like, Peña won ALCS MVP. Kyle Tucker is just really good. But Alvarez has been that dangerous force in the middle of this lineup that has allowed this team to continue to fit in some of the pieces as they leave, but still be a very, very dangerous lineup. In at number six, it is Juan Soto. Again, one of just the great pure hitters in this game. Has such a, all the stuff I said about Freeman, but with a bit more power, right? Like, he has such a high baseball IQ and has such a great sense of the strike zone and has such a great sense of hitting, being able to spray the ball to all fields. It's as a Blue Jays fan, it sucks that he's in the American League East this year because he is so talented. But he is just like, the comparisons to Ted Williams are accurate. And honestly, he could probably be a little bit higher on this list. At five, it's Corey Seager. This is based off of the World Series. When this kid stays healthy, he is one of the electric players in baseball. He has the pop. He has the speed. He is great defensively. He has everything you want in a shortstop and a baseball player. And you see the impact that he had on the Texas Rangers, that massive home run in game one, I believe it was, to tie the game against the Diamondbacks and really make it seem like, okay, that this team has got it, man. He just checks all of the boxes, like a true five-tool player in this league. At four, it's Aaron Judge. 62 home runs a couple seasons ago, has refined his hitting approach to be a more complete hitter than just a dead red power guy. Defensively, they're putting him in center field this year, which I do think is maybe a bit of a stretch for him. The only limitation on him is that he might break down at some point, but he isn't right now and is just so dangerous at the plate and has such a great sense of how to take advantage fully of his size, use that leverage to just hit monster bomb after monster bomb, and again, spray the ball to all fields. At number three, it's Mookie Betts, a six-time Gold Glove winner in right field. So naturally, he's playing shortstop this year for the Dodgers. Gross. Just does everything you ask of him. And, like, can hit for power, fantastic speed. He's, like, again, defensively just playing all over the field for this team, that there is nothing he doesn't do. And the fact that the Red Sox let him go is going to be one of those trades that I think just kind of haunts the Red Sox for years and years and years to come, because this is still one of the most talented players in baseball. He shows it today with six runs batted in. In at number two, it's Ronald Acuna Jr. Like, just such a complete ball player. Has the power, brings a swagger to the game. Again, can run, can field. There's so many incredibly talented guys who just do it all. Like, there aren't many, like, pure sluggers. You know, Kyle Schwarber is a bit of a dying breed where he's going to steal one bag a year, hit 220, but hit 40 piss missiles into right field in Philadelphia and call it a day. He is different, but Acuna, spoiler alert for number one, Acuna, just does everything you need a ball player to do and does basically all of it at an elite level. And at number one, it's Shohei, probably the best hitter in baseball, and a top 15 pitcher in the sport. He just does things you've never seen before, does all of them at a high level. And oh, by the way, he can run, stole a base just clean the other night against the Padres. It is wild. It is like a video game, but even the video games wouldn't let you do what he's been doing until a couple of years ago. Just a miraculous player. And it is such a treat to be able to watch him, even though he didn't come to the Blue Jays. It is such a treat to watch him. And he's just like, I know a lot of Blue Jays fans are frustrated with him. I can't hate him. It's not his, he wanted to go live in LA for $700 million. I probably would do that too. I can't bring myself to hate this guy. He is so good. And one thing I have learned now at 34 years old and watching sports basically since I was a kid, appreciate this greatness. And so I'm not going to be a hater on this guy for one second. It is unbelievable what we are getting to witness on a day in, day out basis with this guy. Okay, let's move now to coaches on the hot seat this year. I think there are a few. The number one, I think, is obvious. It's Aaron Boone. I am stunned that he made it through last season, the worst Yankee season since 1992, And I think this team, he needs this team to get off to a good start. If they are 15-15 after April, I think the calls for his job will be pretty quick. Even with Gerrit Cole being out with an injury, I think there's going to be some real problems for Aaron Boone here as this season goes on. He needs to have a quick, dominant start with this Yankees team. Up next is John Schneider with the Blue Jays. The team very clearly threw him under the bus after the Jose Berríos situation from last year in the American League wildcard game. And this is a Blue Jays team that has now underperformed for 3 years in a row. And now they probably have the worst roster that they've had of the last 3 or 4 years. And the expectations around baseball, I don't think are as high, but in Toronto, they are massive. Given that Bo and Vlad are only under team control for another 2 years, you need to get this thing figured out right now. And again, a slow start, and they have a tough schedule to start, and it seems like Gausman's going to miss a couple weeks. But a slow start for this team could cost this man his job. Derek Shelton with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Not that the Pirates have this amazing roster, but it is time for this team to start progressing a little bit. They had a really good start to the year last year and then faded away. There's some exciting talent in the Pittsburgh organization. Shelton's been there for a little bit. They need this guy to start delivering. Same thing with David Bell. They have one of the more exciting players in the game on their team now. This is another team that I think needs to really start to show something, or else it's going to cost their manager their job. AJ Hinch with the Detroit Tigers is another one. They made the move a couple of off seasons ago to bring in Javi Baez. He obviously has not lived up to what they needed him to, and that this team has kind of fallen off. But the Tigers are a team that in a an American League Central that is wide open, I do think that they need to see some improvement now. And the last one is Oliver Marmol. A lot of young talent on this team, but the Cardinals, quite frankly, just are not used to losing. And so I think the pressure is on Marmol now to go out and get the job done here. Players on the hot seat. This first one, I don't think it's going to like cost him his job or anything, but I think the pressure is on. Given what contract could be coming and the expectations he had coming in the league, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is number one. I think he has some of the most pressure on him this season to carry this Blue Jays team to where people thought he'd be able to a couple of seasons ago. Christian Yelich, it's just kind of like holding on now to see, can he be that guy? That this Brewers team, it does seem like they are going in another direction. But for Yelich, I think there's a lot of pressure on him now to see if he can get back to his form from a couple of years ago. Jonathan India is another one in Cincinnati. There were some rumors that he would be moved to the Blue Jays at some point because Toronto had a need at second base. The Reds have just had a lot of prospects that have passed this kid by. And so you wonder, it just feels like it's an important year to have a big year for India there. Same thing with Gavin Lux. He's at the bottom of this order for the Dodgers. He was one of the next great prospects for this team, and he's one of the few prospects for the Dodgers that hasn't panned out necessarily. And they're going to need him too this year to really stretch that lineup out. So there's pressure on him this year. Tim Anderson with Miami had to sign a one-year, $5 million deal, I believe it was, to just like stay in the league, basically. This guy was an MVP candidate a few years ago. It has fallen off. It feels like this is his last chance. Same thing, Javi Baez, like so much pressure on him going into Detroit, and he just has not delivered, and they need him to be a superstar. And so I think there's a lot of pressure on him this year. Alex Bregman going into a contract year, it seems like the perception of him has fallen off rather substantially just because he's been in the public light for so long and playing at a high level for so long that now that it started to dip a little bit, it's like, okay, well, washed up. I think this is a guy who could make himself legitimately hundreds of millions of dollars this season. Matt Chapman has to prove it again in San Francisco. I think there's a bit on him, and same thing with Cody Bellinger. And lastly, this is my favorite list to put together all year. It is the most talented teams in baseball. At number five, it's the Yankees. They probably have the best lineup in the American League anyway, with Soto, Judge, Stanton, Rizzo, LeMahieu, Volpe has been hitting the ball hard this spring. It's such a stacked lineup. They don't move up higher because of the pitching staff. At four, it's still Houston. They are still able to plug in replacements when all of these high-level players leave the organization. They are able to do that at such an extremely high level, and they are still, even though they didn't win the pennant last year, they are still, I think, the standard in the American League. At three, it's the Baltimore Orioles. It is insane the amount of young talent this team has all over the field. The pitching staff is a concern, but 1 through 9, this lineup is elite and getting better. That is so scary with this team. At number two, it's Atlanta. Again, just such a complete roster. The pitching staff, they have a number of guys who you feel very comfortable with. And 1 through 9 in this lineup, they have versatility, they have power, they have speed. It is just a complete baseball team. But at number one, when you have 3 MVPs at the top of your lineup, you're the most talented team in baseball. And if guys like who we talked about before, Gavin Lux can step up, Will Smith, Kike Hernandez, those guys, if those guys can step up, this is one of the best lineups we've ever seen. And if the pitching staff can deliver, it's one of the best teams we've ever seen. And it's not like you're asking these guys to deliver in ways they haven't before. There is a bit of a question mark there for sure, but the Dodgers are still the most talented team in baseball. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at PrimetimeKlein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. You can email the show, CouchPotatoDiary@yahoo.com. Coming up later on today, I'm going to be watching March Madness all day. So if anything crazy happens, I'll be hopping on to do some instant reaction shows about what happens with that. Football Friday, we're going to look at fantasy football implications of NFL free agency. And then in the fighting category, we're going to be looking at the legacy of Mark Coleman after he was a hero this week, and look at some of the fights to make after some of the cards that we've seen over the last little while, and of course some WWE talk as we get ready for WrestleMania. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you like this video and subscribe. If you're listening in podcast form, make sure you subscribe and leave a review, and I'll talk to all of you later.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.